Thank you again for being with us tonight, and we are so honored to have Pastor Larry Bullard with us tonight. He's usually with us every Wednesday night, but he's going to be up here preaching tonight. He's been in the ministry 58 years, so he's been a place or two, knows a thing or two. And I know that you are going to be blessed tonight from what he's going to share. So would you mind just standing up and join me in welcoming our dear brother, Pastor Larry Bullard, to this pulpit. Come and have your liberty, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. You may be seated. Not sure why you stood, but yes, you'd say that's fine. I want to take a moment just say this. Deborah and I obviously feel so at home here. Thank you for making her feel at home. She is such a joy in my life. I want you to turn to Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. Song of Solomon, I want you just to leave it there, and we're going to come back there about 10:30 tonight. Me and Mark will be there. Turn to Isaiah, take a left, and you'll be in the Song of Solomon. Chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. I want to close out with that. Pastor Ed has asked me to share my testimony. And I am thrilled to be able to do that. Every life is a story. And I'm going to share tonight part of my story with you. I started preaching when I was 19 and was called to my first church within 6 months. So I had to learn in a hurry. I didn't know a whole lot. I called the book of Job, Job, and Psalm of Palms. I mean, I didn't know much. Still don't know a lot, but I know more than I did then. I hope. I pastored for 16 years without the fullness of God in my life. I grew up on 1 Corinthians 12:13. It's all I was ever taught about the Holy Spirit. You've been baptized in the body of Christ. All of you have been baptized into the body of Christ. That's all I was ever taught. Even in seminary, they didn't go much beyond that. Some of the books I was encouraged to read in my classes actually dispelled what we believe here. They believed in the Holy Spirit. They just believed it was worn out. Now, I want to say, having said that, I don't want to speak despairingly about any people or any people's groups, but they are part of my journey. And so here we go. God blessed the work we were in because he blesses his word. I became very miserable. I would read 1 John 5:3 that says, his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. And I'm saying, oh, really? That's where I was. I said, with the fear of God in my heart, that's where I was. And our Lord's words in Matthew 11:28-30 closes that out with, my yoke is easy, my burden. I said, oh, really? What am I missing, Lord? What am I missing? One morning of destiny, Wilma placed a brochure in my hand announcing a seminar in Dallas with a man named Milton Green, who was under the auspices of James Robinson Ministries. And the timing of this is really important. James passed 2 weeks ago, as many of you know. James was a mighty man of God, a bold warrior, and he's in his eternal rewards tonight. But God used him to help set me free. I was miserable inside. I went to the La Quinta Inn, threw my luggage on the floor, and I said something like, God, if you don't come through, I'm out of here. I may lose my life. I may lose my marriage. My ministry is sure defunct. So I really need you to come through. That's where I was. The next morning in 1984 was to be a morning, a day of destiny for this old boy from Anderson, Alabama. 600 people were in that ballroom, you know, Kenta Inn. And I sat down behind a couple from, now get this, Fried Hardeman University, if you're listening. And they were raising their hands and praying. I knew it was a new day and I was in the right place. I just said, God's in this place. If that could happen. Seen some of that since. It was a start. It was a new day. Milton just read the word. He stuttered when he talked unless he was teaching. It's kind of like Milton Tillis and his singing. I saw things in Scripture I had never seen in my life after being a seminary graduate and a pastor for 16 years. I saw things in the Word I had never seen before. It was revelatory, it was encouraging, and it was a dismay in part because of where have I been, I thought. And then something started rising up in me. How could I be so blind? Folks, hear me. Religious blinders are very thick blinders. They're thick blinders for a lot of reasons. They're thick because of arrogance, pride. I say this honestly, but you don't really realize how dark the religious world is till you step outside of it and look back in on it. And I saw the bondage I had been in. That was a part of it. Ambition, political agendas, and on it goes. Religion always asks more than you can do, and Jesus always does more than you can ask. So I was so thirsty. The key to it all is right there. If there is one key, I think that's it. So I was thirsty. I was hungry. If anyone is thirsty, let him come. As far as I know, that's the only qualification he puts on it. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to have 4 degrees, probably better without them. Just hungry. The poor can come. The rich can come. The maiden can come. The lawyer can come. If anyone is thirsty, let him come. It's the only qualification he makes.
Hallelujah.
I was thirsty. Something was stirring inside of me as I listened to this man teach. I had never felt before. When the ministry time came, everyone was on their faces. 600 people in a ballroom in Dallas. 600 people wailing, repenting, and crying. I went down on my knees, a broken man, but I got up, a free man. I don't know all that happened. I can't explain everything that happened. I went on my knees in bondage. I got up in freedom. I got up in freedom. 42 years ago, Jesus set me free. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time. And I've been walking in it for 42. I'm not perfect, but I'm still following Him. Sometimes I stumble, but I keep following. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It didn't take me long to realize. I did not realize, can't read my notes. The devil had talked to me since I was a little boy. I grew up in the cotton fields, just about 40 minutes from here. Girls, that's probably telling too much on this point, but our friends, their parents worked at Reynolds and Ford back in that day. My dad was a carpenter and a cotton farmer. And we would ask girls, this is a true story. My brother asked a girl for a date, and she said, I'm not going out with you. You pick cotton. This is a sidebar. She turned out a lot better. He turned out better than she did. The devil talked to me since I was a little boy. And I was in one of those aisle runners. I mean, surrender all just always got me. I surrender all. As a little boy now, I just ran the aisles. I was hungry for God, but no one could tell me because they didn't know what it was. Isn't that sad? And so, I was hungry, and I sought Him, and I got totally set free. I mean, the devil had talked to me. I found out then, that day, that I could not only talk to the devil, I could put him under my feet and keep him there. And that's where he is tonight. So some of you are struggling with some things. I'm saying, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop. He will meet you. C.S. Lewis said, when we come to the end of ourselves, we come to the beginning of God. That's where I was. I wish that was the whole story. I thought everybody wanted to be free. You know where I'm going. So I went back to my church. I pastored a church in East Tennessee that had four factions in it. When I got there, I was about to add a fifth. So I thought they were going to be open. I'm telling you, they weren't. When I got to the period of talking about being free, and I taught this, that before you can reach Freedom Boulevard, you got to go through Demon Alley. And that's when they voted me. I've been voted on more than Donald Trump. They voted. I mean, it was not a large town, and so the word had gotten around, and the building was full that morning. I mean, they had not been in agreement on it, but they agreed to vote me out. It's the only time they've been in agreement on anything, as far as I know. I mean, and so they voted, and one guy came up to me before the vote, and he had the audacity to say to me, I think we should vote before you preach. And I looked at him and I said, do I look that stupid to you? They're going to vote me. I don't think so. So I preached on the war against the word. Keith Hammond told me years later, he said, Larry, you preach better when you're mad. I wasn't mad. I was desperate and I was free. I was a free man. The war against the war. About 50 of the people came out with me and we started meeting in storefronts. I met in storefronts for years. And we left that was a multi-million dollar building. I mean, the chandelier in that building was bigger than my truck. Had a lot of white-collar people, had a lot of money. I found out they'd give you a $100 bill. They wouldn't give you 10 minutes of their time. But that's just a sidebar. But there was hate, and they just didn't want me anymore. They actually called me a false prophet. And I'm thinking, I didn't think you believed in prophets. So about 50 of us went out and started a new work, and it went well. I was free. I still remember. These preachers will really appreciate this. Walking in that first Sunday morning, I saw hands raised. I heard tambourines clinging, and banners, folks running with banners across the building, and I said, it's worth it all. This is worth it. I'm telling you, folks, freedom next to the name of Jesus. Freedom is the most beautiful word in any language. Freedom. He wants to set you free. He came to set us free. Amen? He died for us to be free. He rose for us to be free. He sent the Holy Spirit so we could be free. John 8:38, if any man is free in me, he's free. Free indeed. I came to set the captives free. That's what he said he came to do, right? And religion has so gotten in the way. So I got a few takeaways from this. Oh, before I get to the takeaways, I want you to read this really good part. Are you in Solomon, sung Solomon yet? Okay. To me, I call this the song of a soul set free. It's so beautiful. Song of Solomon 10 through 13. This is how I felt. In 1980, I still feel that way on the inside. My beloved responded and said to me, arise, my darling, that's the Holy Spirit, my beautiful one, and come along. I get this, the winter's past. the rain is over and gone. The blossoms have already appeared in the land. The time has arrived for pruning the vines. The voice of the turtle dove has been heard in the land. The fig tree has opened for ripening its fruit. And the vines and the blossom have gone forth, given forth their fragrance. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. That's a beautiful picture of a man being set free on the inside. The winter has gone. If you've ever been there, you do appreciate springtime, don't you? And some of you tonight, maybe, are still there. You don't have to be. You don't have to leave here with that on you. Now, I had some takeaways from that journey as I was sitting there during worship. I was thinking about so many people who helped me get this to this point. My parents, my mom and dad. My dad is still one of my heroes. Hardest working man I've ever seen. In the summertime, he'd come home, his overalls would be drenched with sweat from working. In the wintertime, his knuckles would burst with bleeding from working in the cold to put food on the table for his six kids. He's my hero. 3 days before he died, I said, Dad, if you can, when you get over there, this I know is not theologically correct, but give me a break. I said, Dad, when you get over there, if you can, give me a little nudge. Give me all the support you can. He said, I will, son. He's one of my heroes. Some takeaways. God will go to great lengths to get you where he wants you to be. He will go to great lengths. I missed God when we left Lebanon and went to East Tennessee. I had a lot of years to think about it. But if I had not gone to East Tennessee, I would never would have met Milt Green. I never would have been set free. It was worth it. Whatever you're going through, I'm telling you, it's worth it. Don't you receive the devil's lies. He'll go to great lengths. I'm telling you this, personally, it cost me my reputation. It cost me my association with peers. My phone didn't ring anymore to do meetings. My brother, who is a deacon in one of those populations, I'm trying to find a good way to say that. His population fits pretty good. He never calls me. I was in East Tennessee. He said, Larry, I hear you're not a Baptist anymore. How do you answer that? He said, what are you? I said, well, one of them, your brother. But I just said something like, I'm a follower of Jesus. That's all I need to say. But a lot of people, and you know, some of you, you've already been through some of this. But it will cost you a lot. But it's kind of like, in cost, it's kind of like trading a rusty penny in for a $30 million Rolls Royce. There's really no comparison. We had lunch today with one of our sisters and brother-in-laws that came down from Columbia for lunch, and out in the parking lot was an Ash Martin. Now, some of you know about cars. I didn't. I Googled it. They run about $350,000. I looked at it a couple of times. I told Deborah, I left my keys in my car. It's kind of like that. A trade-off? Not really. He talked, because when you found the pearl of great price, you're willing to go and buy and sell all you have and buy that one pearl. Isn't that right?
Yes.
He's worth it all. The pearl. Find the pearl. Keep looking for the pearl. There are a lot of swines around pearl, but keep looking until you find the pearl. And then John, this verse right here, if you're not thirsty, ask him to make you thirsty. If you're not thirsty, why are you not thirsty? Are you looking, is your struggles just getting in the way? Are you just so down that you just don't look? Are you not thirsty anymore? If any man thirsts, and then this is so true, as long as you live, someone or somebody will try to shut your mouth. As long as you live, someone or something will try to shut you down. And you got to do, I love Tom Petty, I ain't backing down, I don't back down. And when you're spirit-filled, every song is a parable. I played that one night down at the ranch, Restoration Ranch. I won't back down. I love that. Deborah and I have agreed that we will not sit by the pool and drink daiquiris. None alcoholic, of course. the rest of our life. We want to do whatever God has called us to do. And it's so interesting. I mentioned about I didn't understand. I still don't for sure how all that happened. Pastor, it was the same way as when I got saved. The same dynamic took place. I decided this, if you cannot explain it, it's probably God. Because when I got saved, I was a little boy. I remember going down the aisle. I was full of tears and crying. And I know that I got saved because I gave evidence of it. And I trusted the Lord that day to save me. I don't really know all that happened that day. But I know I'm like the blind man. I don't know something did. I used to be blind, but I can see now. Amen? I can see. I used to be blind, but now I can see. So don't make it difficult. We have. But that's my testimony in a nutshell. And we're done. Dad said, son, when you get through, shut up, sit down. So that's it, Pastor. I just feel like there's somebody here that touched something in there, touched somebody. I don't mean to be despairing of those but there were just people who rose up against me, us. It cost me a place to live. It certainly cost me a job. But I say again, I'm a wealthy man. I'm rich. I'm a wealthy man. So let's stand together. Lord, if you'll come and play something for us. I caught you off guard. If anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink. He who believes in me, that's all present tense. Keep on believing in me. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers. You know the little song that you sing, a cup? No. He gives you a river. Give him your cup and get a river. Fill my cup. We sang that. Trade the cup in for a river. He's got a river for you. And he'll just keep on getting better and better and better. I'm like the other lady who said, Brother Larry, she said, I've been walking Jesus long. I can't tell if it's a trial or a blessing. So we're going to have a time of appeal. If you need to come for prayer, we're here for you. Pastor, turn over to you.
Pastor Larry, when you were, it was in Dallas, you said, you basically said you were really desperate.
Desperate, yeah. Very much so.
So drove to Dallas, 600 people there. Was it an altar call? Did someone lay hands on you? Or was it just the Holy Spirit came upon you?
Came upon me. Yeah. The Holy Spirit, the whole room was saturated. Mm-hmm. And he came upon me. And that's what happened.
And I know we don't want to reduce it to a feeling.
No.
But it's best as you can explain what happened in that moment. Because one moment, you're with all that desperation. Mm-hmm. Then
just like that.
The next moment.
It was broken. I can't, as I said, I can't explain what happened. But I know it happened. I got so free, I couldn't stand up on my lawnmower to cut grass. When I got home, and people would run, Brother Larry's cutting his grass, go watch him, stand up on his lawnmower. I was just so free on the inside, and I knew he had set me free. That would be the feeling. Now, I didn't receive the baptism, I didn't receive the gift of tongues, a prayer language for about a year.
Right.
Whatever reason. But.
So, before you made this long trip, you knew what kind of conference it was?
Oh, yeah.
So, what led to that, you know,
desperation.
Had you heard that? Like,
I knew James had an encounter with Milton,
yeah,
and had been
great change in
great
someone
change
else's life.
In his life, and I knew that's what I needed. Yeah.
Yes, because I remember. Of course, it was 13 years. You said this was in 84, so it would have been 13 years later.
Yeah.
When I had a similar thing happen, but I remember hearing about James Robinson.
Yeah.
And he was really bold to share.
Yeah, he really was.
About how he was wrecked by the Spirit.
Yeah. His expression was, there was a claw in my brain. Mm-hmm. claw in my brain. And Milton Green told him, they went in a motel room. And Milton prayed with him, and Milton said, told him, oh boy. He said, boy, he said, you'll be free in the morning. James said, I didn't feel anything. But when he woke up the next morning, he was totally free. And I could have probably handled it some differently, and he could have. But he made the statement that among some of his peers at that time, that he would have been treated better if he committed adultery from the religious group. Yeah, I can bear witness to that.
So your love for the Word and your desperation kind of brought you to that,
for sure,
that place. And so you basically went to where you heard there was a river flowing.
A river, yeah, sure did.
Amen.
Yeah, and I keep using the word desperate, but I don't know a better word. I think that's what he said. Don't see if any man, if you're thirsty enough, you can drink. The Word came alive. I studied it. I'd preached it for years, and I kept seeing things in there. This is a precursor years back. I kept seeing things in the Word that I didn't see in me, that I didn't see in my folks.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
Something's missing here. And that's what it is.
Yeah. This. Me too. My own explanations of things didn't satisfy me any longer because,
that's right,
you know, we learned to jump the hurdles and everything. I know Pastor Doc has a similar testimony. Pastor Gary, I heard him sharing the other day. And numbers of you came to that point where you love the Lord. You were in the Word, praying people.
Yeah.
But you became convinced that there was more than you had received.
That's right.
So there may be some of you here tonight in that same situation. And in that event, desperation is a wonderful thing. Because a man thirsty looks for water. So I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come up. And thank you. Thank you for sharing that tonight. Amen. If our prayer team members would come on up, please. If you're here tonight, you may be desperate. You're wanting the more. You're wanting that river to flow out of your innermost being. This is God's Word. Jesus was speaking of the Holy Spirit. You know, when they raise the gates on the dam over there at Wilson, the water comes rushing through and everything in the way gives way. And that's really what happens with this empowerment when God's Spirit comes on you. All the stuff, the junk, the clutter, moved out of the way, and you're free. Father God, thank you for this testimony tonight. Thank you for the power of testimony. Thank you for the Word that Pastor Larry has shared tonight. And we pray that this Word and your Holy Spirit would move across this room, Lord. For those that are, there are those, Lord, that have experienced this, but it's like they're in a dry season. They need a fresh touch. Oh, Holy Spirit, have your way. Wind of God, blow. Fire of God, burn. River of God, flow in this place tonight. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer, would you come on up? We're going to worship here for a moment. Just make your way. Anyone that needs prayer?
Oh, Jesus, I surrender. Oh, to Him my faith begins.
Let go and let Him surrender. If there are others, feel free to come. Hold their hands out. Pastor Larry, would you come while we are just postured to receive? Just out of your testimony, pray over this congregation.
Oh, Father, bless you for your relentless grace and love that pursues us, even sometimes when we don't want it. But you're always there. You're seeking and searching. And I pray for everyone here that your Spirit would continue to prod us as you do and lead us to that fullness, to get into that river, to not be satisfied until we know if there's something missing, don't stop till we find it. And we'll find it in you. Thank you, Lord, for your word that teaches us how to be free and your Spirit that leads us. We bless this coming weekend as Pastor shares more, I think, on the Spirit. Keep us in your love and in your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank the Lord for what Pastor Larry has shared here tonight. This altar remains open if you need prayer. And Sunday morning, I am going to step back into a teaching on tongues, a little different perspective maybe than you may have heard before, but just really encouraging all of us to pray in the Spirit more. Those of us who pray in tongues, very powerful. I'll be talking about that Sunday. For those of you that are hungry for that, press in, get in a room, ask the Lord for it. I really believe we're going to begin to see some outbreaks and outpourings of God's Spirit. Let's believe together for that. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you for being here. This altar's open. God bless you.